SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Hour number three, we welcome you to it live right here on this Wednesday on the Early Line on Sports Grid, our third and final hour, but still plenty to break down. A big college basketball slate on this Wednesday with four more conference tournaments on the men's side getting involved in DRS. All of the Power Four conferences in women's college hoops, that would be the Big Ten, Big 12, ACC, and SEC, start today. The Big East, technically a high major conference in college basketball, they begin play in their women's tourney later this week. But we've got games at 11 a.m. Eastern, including 18th-ranked Tennessee in their opening game in the SEC Women's Tournament. So much good college basketball action on this Wednesday. Some NBA games to break down, eight-game slate, and we'll check in on the PGA Tour's Florida Swing, now at Bay Hill, for one of the signature events each and every season on the PGA Tour, the Arnold Palmer Invitational at the King's Place. Plenty to break down as Keith Stewart will join the show up next as well.
Yeah, stars are out there. That's what we like in golf. Put as many as you can out there. We'll see if we can bet them, root them in, cheer them in, and also that rite of passage in spring. That Florida Swing comes around a time where it's cold up here in the Northeast, where you sort of get that taste of what's to come in the spring. And then, of course, the Masters is going to be up on the horizon. Women's college basketball is going to be interesting this year because, for me, most people involved, because Caitlin Clark, a lot of rivalries between them and LSU and, you know, the great basketball teams of South Carolina moving forward. I think they'll still get some pretty good exposure once the tournament actually comes. But for me, of course, we're focused so much on the men's side here, where maybe that eye for the women's game, not really approaching huge status points until maybe the Final Four this year, when we are a little bit more enthralled earlier on in the process. But let's see what those ratings are, the post-Caitlin Clark effect in women's college basketball.
Of course. And even if they do dip, the product is still sensational. Should be a great March full of madness there as well. Let's hear from the people to start off this third and final hour. The longest active win streak in the Western Conference, that's the Los Angeles Lakers. They have won seven straight, but what is the ceiling? Are the Lakers a true contender to win a Western Conference crown? They look the part right now. Will it be the case in late May and early June? Basically, that was the question for everybody out there in Fade the Public. And I think, DRS, this is the important distinction to highlight in our Fade the Public poll, especially in the question at Sports Grid on Twitter, which team is the best bet to win the Western Conference? Oklahoma City, a double-digit game lead for the number one overall seed. They are going to be the one seed out west, but they're a minus money, minus 140 favorite before we even get to the end of the regular season. So, know that when we talk about it. Minus 140 for the Thunder, the Nuggets at a 5-1 price, the Lakers at plus 600. Or if you voted other, we asked for a reply. 42% of the vote backing OKC, understandable. But 35.5% liking the Lakers at that 6-1 number. DRS, which way did you vote in this Fade the Public poll?
I voted the Thunder because I'm just going to pick on the lines of who I think is going to win the conference. And obviously the odds will be what they are, which they're minus 140. But you also have to understand the question itself. Which team is the best bet to win the conference, Western Conference, which doesn't say everybody is plus 100 across the board and just pick the best team. So therefore, you are getting a lot of Lakers love at a 6-1 price. Number one, they're playing very good basketball. Number two, people might just reach back and say, well, the Thunder haven't proven themselves in the playoffs just yet. I don't know if I can trust them at a minus 140 price, even if I think they're the most talented team or the best team per se in the Western Conference. Same thing with the Nuggets at a 5-1 price at 15%. But for me, I went with the Thunder. All year long, I thought they were the best team in the Western Conference. Price be damned for me, I'll pay the minus 140. But understand this, there are a lot of Lakers fans, a lot of Lakers love right now, but also a Lakers price of 6-1, that is a likable price. And that's why a lot of people are voting that direction.
Very, very likable, and I think providing some value. Because, Donnie, it's really the same question in the Eastern Conference that we see here out west. Who is the best challenge for the Celtics? Naturally, it's the Cavaliers, who are the one seed. In this conference, Oklahoma City, the best team, is the one seed. The favorite is the one seed in minus money. So who is that second best team? Is it the Nuggets with the pedigree? Is it the Lakers? LeBron and Luka both individually have pedigree, but not together in this current cast and crew under head coach J.J. Redick. Could it be the Warriors as well? For me, I voted for the Lakers. Two reasons why. One, I love the way they are playing right now and now in that second spot in the Western Conference, seemingly controlling a very favorable path to that Western Conference Finals. Although the three seed is the Nuggets, who have a slightly better price, and Denver has had LA's number in the postseason here as of late. Outside of that, though, DRS, I also bet on the Lakers after the Luka Doncic deal at a 9-1 number. That price has been shaved by $3. I really do believe, and my thought process still the same, I think the Lakers have a great shot of getting to bare minimum second round of the Western Conference playoffs, and I really do believe they can be that other team in the Western Conference Finals to match up against Oklahoma City. And still, as we have said countless times here on the early line, regular season NBA basketball is far different, drastically different, than postseason NBA basketball. In our minds, even if it is unfair to a current organization and a current roster, our minds still want you to prove it. Oklahoma City, this young core, has not proven it in the games that matter most in the NBA's postseason.
Exactly, and that's still the hang-up. And the same thing if we would look at the Eastern Conference. Like, boy, Cleveland is really good, but what's the pedigree? Well, the Boston Celtics won a championship last year and still have the same players in place. That's where the respect is coming from, because there is something to be said about that. The regular season pressure, completely different once you get to the playoffs. And also understand this. It's not March Madness as a tournament, Ben, where it's like, hey, man, on a night-to-night basis, if the Thunder at home, they just have to win one basketball game, we'll take it. If you are looking for the Thunder to beat the Nuggets and or the Lakers, you got to beat them four times in a seven-game series. It's not a one-off here. Yeah. It's not a best of three. You don't have home court advantage the entire way through with every game. You're going to play home games and away games. Injuries do happen, and certainly other teams can step up to the plate and take you down. We understand that. And also, looking at the Western Conference, we asked the question, Thunder, Nuggets, Lakers, and other. When I look at other, the Warriors, come on now. The Grizzlies, no. The Clippers can't stay out of their own way. You take a look at the T-Wolves, who are talented coming into the season. 43-1 price at this point. So I'm not buying any of that here until I get to those Suns. Come on now. I feel like we got to build this up now. I feel like the Suns are the team with the other is the Suns, Ben. That's what I'm feeling right now. I feel like I want to climb on board only to be disappointed, but that price point is nasty work out here.
210-1.
Look at that.
Team right now, still four games sub 500 and still three games back of even a play-in tourney spot. Oh. And yeah, they had a dramatic comeback down by as many as 23 late in the third quarter last night at home against the Clippers. But Donnie, they were still in a 23-point home hole. I can't buy in to Phoenix whatsoever. I will say this, though. The Lakers now, with that seven-game win streak, a half game in front of the Nuggets for the two spot. Denver is the three seed. These two teams will end out their regular season set against one another. They have split the first two matchups. They will play each other twice in the next 2 weeks. Next Friday, 2 weeks from today. Really big games coming our way between the Nuggets and the Lakers that could determine some of that playoff positioning. Donnie, are you not buying in at all to Golden State? 12-1 price, now the sixth seed, not dealing with the play-in tourney, 9 of 10 games with Jimmy Butler in the lineup. They have won and covered. Nope.
No. Like, it really feels like there's the top three in the Western Conference. Don't waste your money on anybody behind them, because they're clearly the top three teams. But if you are going to waste your money, like I'm thinking about I might want to do, ooh, them Suns rally in the valley out there just at the right time. Team meeting yesterday, came up big in the fourth quarter. KD, resurrection time out in the desert. Love to see it. Love it.
I'm a little bit more cautious, but maybe Donnie can get fully in. Arnold Palmer Invitational, live from Bay Hill, next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
A signature stop each and every year on the PGA Tour. This week at Arnie's Place, it's the Arnold Palmer Invitational at Bay Hill. Keith Stewart joins us live from Orlando, Florida, to get you set for the API, a signature event, and a very talented field this week on the PGA Tour. Keith, as always, we appreciate the time. Thanks for joining us bright and early here on this Wednesday.
Ben, Donnie, it's a pleasure to be with you. Scotty's here, Rory's here, Xander is back. I mean, this, you just mentioned it, Ben. This is the world's best at Bay Hill. There's nothing better. The Florida swing really kicking in. Players next week. Let's get to it.
Yeah. From the Arnold Palmer Invitational to golf's fifth unofficial major next week at the Players' Championship, this is some really good golf and a great stretch on the PGA Tour. But let's start with the place that they are playing this week, Keith. That is Bay Hill. It is Arnie's Place. It is the Arnold Palmer Invitational. To have success at Bay Hill, what are some of Keith's keys?
Well, you know what, Ben? Mr., God rest his soul, his spirit still lives through this place. We're not going to see any 59s this week out there on the golf course. There is certainly going to be an advantage to hitting the ball long and straight. So my first key of the week is long iron attack, right? 30% of your approach shots this week come from over 200 yards. The average par three length here is 217 yards, guys, right? Three of the par threes, three of the four, are three of the hardest holes relative to par. The second thing, you know what? You hit less than the field. As good as it is, they hit less than 60% of their greens in regulation. That doesn't happen often on the PGA Tour. You've got to be able to get up and down around here. The ryegrass overseed rough is a story. The closer you get to the green, the thicker it gets. And the third thing is total driving. You got to put the ball in play. We'll hear about it all week in the coverage. The Bay Hill bounce. If you're hitting from the rough, even if you're hitting from the fairway, these greens are firm, they are fast, they are hard. We're getting a little bit of rain this morning, but the wind has been very active. This place is super dried out. Everybody talks about the Bay Hill bounce, and you're going to be able to have to put the ball on the fairway. Those are my three Keith keys for the Arnold Palmer Invitational.
Let's take a look, Keith, at the top of that leaderboard. And this starts with Scottie Scheffler here, plus 320 price at the FanDuel Sportsbook to win this event. Three events played, three cuts made, three top 25s, two top 10s. But astoundingly, Scottie Scheffler hasn't won a tournament yet, even though he's only had three starts so far. What are we looking at Scottie Scheffler this week at Bay Hill?
Well, Donnie, we were looking at a lot of things yesterday. The first thing is the odds board. He comes out in the 300s. The last tie was pre-tournament odds in the 300s was 2013, and that was Tiger Woods when he won here for the eighth time. So Scotty, I mean, he's got a lot of weight of expectations on his back. I saw him testing drivers yesterday. Yes, that's right. He was testing the driver yesterday, and by the time he got it dialed in, boy, Scotty looked good. It was like a meme, guys. It was like Scotty by a million if you looked at his last five drives. And this place, you go back to Keith's keys. I mean, that's what Scotty's superpowers are. He absolutely is the favorite to win, but at 3-1, he's only a live bet option for me. There's better guys further down the board. Now, also in single digits, you've got Rory McIlroy. Here's a guy, six top 10s in his last eight starts here with a win. It's absolutely one of those situations where because Rory can bomb it off the tee and hit the fairway, he's had such an advantage here over time. But when I was at TGL on Monday, I noticed Rory had a new driver and a new fairway wood in the bag. So the guys at the top, your favorites in single digits, they're doing a little equipment messing around, which might give us all, you know, so you're saying there's a chance.
Scottie Scheffler has been great at the API two of the last 3 years. He has won the Arnold Palmer Invitational, including being our reigning champ. But of course, Keith, the number's so short for both Scottie and Rory. And there are so many good golfers in the field this week. Let's get some early leans on the early line. Who do you expect to perform well at this year's Arnold Palmer Invitational?
Well, I expect it to be a superstar. I will pick some guys further down the board, but if you look at the three signature events this year, you know, the PGA Tour created these signature events 2 years ago. In that time, we've had eight short winners in the 11 signature events we've had to date. You look at the regular season events, we've had 28 of those, and almost all of them have been further down the board. I mean, the last 2 weeks, Brian Campbell, Joe Highsmith, I mean, those are like the original anchors for the early line like 10 years ago. I mean, who are those guys? We don't know. But we know that Hideki, we know that Rory, and we know that Ludwig have won these signature events. My early leans, I'm going to go with the kid again. I love Ludwig Åberg at plus 1,600. Fifth at the Century. He withdraws at AT&T because he was sick, and then he wins the Genesis. He was in the press room this morning. it's like he's holding back how good he knows he's hitting it, how confident he is. The kid is just total swag. He's just oozing confidence. And this place, you go back to the Keys. You got to bomb it down the fairway. You got to be a great long iron player. That's all the things he did at Torrey Pines. And he saved pars when he needed to and made birdies on the back nine on Sunday. My second early lean, I'm going to go a little further down the board. Daniel Berger plus 7,000. Now, last week, everybody's like, Keith, you kind of didn't like Daniel Berger. And here's the reason why. The weight of expectations on the PGA Tour is a real thing when it comes to these events. Now, last week, Daniel Berger, he's in the press room. He's one of the favorites to win. You know, everyone forgets that in 2022, on the back nine at PGA National, that guy had a five-shot lead, and he lost the tournament. You know, he had a lot of expectations on him last week coming into Florida for his form that he had showed on the West Coast. But guess what? He's now in the middle of the pack. He can let his clubs do the talking instead of himself in the media center. I love Daniel Berger, an excellent driver of the golf ball here. He's a wonderful long iron player, and he can scramble and score where needed. Bermuda grass putting, what we have down here at Bay Hill, he's exceptional at that too.
It's Florida at this time of the year. Golf tournaments are won on Sundays with a particular individual that likes to wear red. When is the reappearance of Tiger Woods expected on the PGA Tour? Question. Come on, give it to us, Keith.
Well, Donnie, I know I have high expectations for the players next week, but last night in the media center after TGL, he was asked directly, hey, Tiger, are we going to see you next week in Sawgrass? And he said, you know what? I'm really enjoying practicing right now. So either he's playing coy, which Tiger always does, or we will see him in about 35 days down there at the Masters. But I'm not optimistic for next week. I think Tiger, he's going to, you know, I mean, his TGL record isn't strong. And if you ask me, he's going to need some practice before Magnolia Lane.
Yeah, he certainly is. And he will never enter a golf tournament if he truly does not believe he can win it, which might seem far off. But that is the opinion always of Eldrick. Keith Stewart, we appreciate the time as always. Enjoy the week at Bay Hill in the Arnold Palmer Invitational. Thank you for the insight. We get you set for an 8-game slate around the NBA. Up next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
8-game slate around the NBA on this Wednesday evening. And the best team in the NBA now with 51 wins and only 10 losses and riding yet another lengthy double-digit win streak. That would be the Cavaliers, back home, winners of 11 in a row. Last night, 22-point beatdown of the Bulls in Chicago. So second leg of a back-to-back DRS and a change of venue, but not all that far of a trip for Cleveland. And at home, they're yet again a double-digit favorite tonight against Miami. 10.5-point spread in favor of the Cavs, looking for win number 12 consecutively. Do the Cavs get it? That's what the odds makers expect. Can the Cavs do so convincingly? That's the question for Donnie.
Feels like they always do it convincingly at this point. So if you're asking me the winner of this game, the Cavaliers. But again, the question is not just to win when the spread is 10.5 live at the FanDuel Sportsbook. It's can they win and cover by 2 touchdowns at home? I'm saying they can. But the better part of me says, you know what? That 225.5 opening number, which now sits live at the FanDuel Sportsbook at 225 even right now, down 2 points from that graphic showing up. Typically, you don't look at the Miami Heat as an over team, but now it's just like the Cavs are an over team. Stated it yesterday. Like, can you just pencil them in? Doesn't matter who they play, Ben, for 125 points? You know what I mean? Like, that's the way I go in this game. Yes, I think the Cavaliers can win by double digits, but I'm more confident that as long as I get something out of the Miami Heat, I know the Cavs aren't rolling into this game with 109 points. Give me the over 225.
Yeah, I don't really know why we are seeing the drop. Second leg of a back-to-back? Yeah. Evan Mobley, as Brian Fonseca said earlier, held out of last night's game in the Windy City to be ready for this one at home. And I feel like a broken record at times, but the Cavs are not just the best straight-up team at 51-10, riding an 11-game win streak. The Cavs are the best cover team in the NBA, 40-20-1 against the spread, the only team in the association with more than 35 games covered this year. And they are also the highest over team in the NBA, the only team that has played with at least 40 overs. Last night in Chicago, skying over a pregame total, 41 overs out of 61 games this year for Cleveland. Hard to go against that line of thought tonight. So the best team in the Eastern Conference at 51-10, that's Cleveland. The best team in the Western Conference at 50-11, that's Oklahoma City. Two teams around the NBA with more than 43 wins, and both are at least 50. The Cavs 51, the Thunder with 50. They're a 9-point road favorite tonight in Memphis for a Grizzlies team that is dealing with a litany of injuries and also riding a 3-game skid. But the caption is playoff preview, because if the season ended today, OKC, of course, running away with the 1 seed, Memphis is in the 4 spot. If they were to see each other in the second round, it would be this matchup, but with the Thunder having home floor advantage. OKC is also 1-4 straight. Will that be 5 in a row tonight in the Grind City?
It's crazy how we're taking a look at some of these top teams in the NBA. We just talked about the Cleveland Cavaliers playing a decent Miami Heat team and at home on a back-to-back and still favored by over 10 points as that line sits at 10.5. You take a look at OKC and Memphis. This looks like it could be one of those playoff previews as we're putting the graphic up saying, you know what? Okay, since they're favored by 9 right now on the live board. That's right. They're not even the home team. They're on the road at Memphis as a 9-point favorite. And the total, which opened in New Jersey at FanDuel, 246.5, now sits 250, and other outlets as high as 251.5. Usually I'd say to myself, I'd rather go total in here, but I'm buying into that line movement. Like, it just feels like that line is appropriate, saying, you know what? The best team in the West is facing one of the better teams in the West on the road, and we're still looking at a double-digit victory. Give me them. You know what? Lay the -9 with OKC tonight. Hammer job over Memphis.
The Thunder have won 6 of 7 since the All-Star break, booked as at least a 9-point favorite in all 7 games. They've only covered 3 times, but still, you can see what the odds makers expect night in, night out. They have gone over in all 7 games since the All-Star break as well. 7 games for Memphis since the break. They have dropped 5 of 7. They have not covered in any of those 7 games. And Donnie, we have done this now a couple of times with Memphis. It is a ridiculously high total, but for a reason. The Grizzlies have been over in 4 of their last 5 games. And not like the total was 221.5 and we saw 223 points. Memphis has gone over in all 4 of those games with at least 252 points combined, including the total of 251.5 at close against Atlanta earlier this week. That saw 262 points. The number is the number for a reason. It sounds pretty lame to say, but it is the truth. More around the NBA in this 8-game slate on a Wednesday. Up next here on the Early Line.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Few more games to break down around the NBA on this Wednesday before we turn our attention to college hoops. The Denver Nuggets, now a half game behind the Lakers for that 2-3 split in the Western Conference standings, looking to get a home victory tonight. 5.5-point spread as the Nuggets host the Sacramento Kings. 236 is that total. DRS, what's your play for this mile-high matchup?
Yeah, I don't understand the line here. Opened up at 6.5 here in New Jersey. Now down to 5.5 is that live number. 236 is a total. Sounds about right. I still do like that Kings lineup without Domantas Sabonis. Estimated starting lineup tonight, Malik Monk, Zach LaVine, DeMar DeRozan, Keegan Murray, and Jonas Valanciunas. But it still looks like it's going to be a full go lineup tonight for the Denver Nuggets. I did yesterday, bought the dip in the total, which really worked out in my favor. I feel like I want to do that again. Like, why can't we win by 6+ points to cover this live line at -5.5 for the Nuggets? I'll buy that little bit of a crunch. It's usually not healthy to go with a public favorite with the line dropping at this point, just reading into it. But if that's the lineup I'm getting as an estimated starting lineup, why not go with it? Nikola Jokic, big night tonight. Let's go. Give me the Nugs.
Denver did get beat in Boston, of course, by 7 on Sunday, but a few days off from then, returning back home at altitude. The Nuggets have still won 11 of their last 14. It almost feels like Denver is struggling. It's not that. The Lakers have just won 7 straight and are playing really good basketball. And in these 11 wins in their last 14 games, Denver has covered in 8 of them. So I kind of agree with you, DRS. The only points prop listed right now for the Nugs, maybe some of the reason for that line confusion, is Nikola Jokic, status of Jamal Murray, Michael Porter Jr. They played in Boston on Sunday. No Aaron Gordon. Christian Brown was in that starting lineup. So maybe that's the issue, but we would still expect to see them mostly at a full go tonight against Sacramento, and games critical for both of these teams. The Kings trying to remain in the play-in tournament, and Denver, of course, trying to catch the Lakers for that two spot around the Western Conference. The Pistons, late night in L.A., not against the Lakers, who have won seven in a row, but the Clippers, who have dropped six of seven since the All-Star break and have not covered once. L.A., 4.5-point home dog on the second leg of a back-to-back, but heading back to Los Angeles from Phoenix last night against this Detroit team who has won 10 of their last 11 and playing really good basketball.
Yeah, and Bob should say that that line is appropriate at this point because you saw the game last night, which that was a deflating loss. I mean, you should have won by 25 points, not lost by 2 points there for the Clippers. But in back-to-backs, understand this. In the NBA, travel conditions, Kawhi Leonard probably not going to play tonight. We'll see if James Harden does. He's expected to be in the starting lineup. But again, without Norm Powell, now you're down a couple players against a hot team that is rested and ready to take on and play against you. So I agree with that line. Like, if it wasn't back-to-back, it wouldn't be anywhere near that big. And also, I think if the Clippers had won last night, it'd probably be a little bit less. Just not buying into the Clippers, because whatever they've been selling post All-Star break, we're not buying it right now, Ben, and I'm not buying it tonight.
Not at all. In DRS, the Pistons have been booked as a favorite much more often recently than not. Favored in 8 of their last 9, they have covered, or 9 of their last 10, excuse me, they have covered in 8 of those 9 games booked as a favorite, as they have been winning a ton and covering. So Detroit playing some really good ball here down the home stretch of this regular season. Let's get to college basketball. A couple of monumental games on this Wednesday. SEC regular season crown already decided, but two SEC teams, DRS, still trying to hunt down the one line. And a top 10 tilt tonight in Tuscaloosa. It's number 7, Alabama. It's number 5, Florida. The Crimson Tide, a 2.5-point home favorite tonight inside Coleman Coliseum against the Gators. Now make it 3.5, the updated number on the FanDuel Sportsbook. And, of course, a very lofty total anytime the Tide are playing in a basketball game, 178.5. What gives tonight in this top 10 tilt in Tuscaloosa?
That's crazy. So 180 on the board at this point, and rightfully so. Both teams play with a little bit of tempo here. Florida, a very good offense, and the best offense due to efficiency in SEC play is the Alabama Crimson Tide. Understand this to me. Sometimes it comes down to, again, styles just make fights here. Both of these teams are very good at making the three-point shot. You take a look at the Florida offense, which is very good, as I've said. 44% of their shots come from three-point range on offense. That's number 2 in the conference at firing away from 3, and they make 36%, which is great. But look at Alabama's defense. They don't turn you over all that much, but they play very good defense at the three-point line, holding opponents to 31% from three-point range in conference play. That's 3rd out of 16 teams. Then if you look at defending the three-point line as not saying, okay, how do we defend the shots? It's not letting you get shots there. They're number 1 in conference play. So if you say Florida loves to shoot the 3 and Alabama is the best team at chasing you off of the three-point line, that's a win for Alabama. Flip it over to Alabama's offense here. At home, you typically play better at home than you do on the road. Number 1, as we talked about, inefficiency on offense. And also, number 3, at making the three-point shot at 38%. They're 3rd in the conference, just behind Florida, at shooting the three-point shot at 44% of their total offensive shots. You take a look at Florida's defense, 7th in conference play, chasing you off the line. So Florida likes to shoot the 3. Alabama will defend it and chase you off the line. Alabama likes to shoot the 3, but Florida not going to chase you off the line as much at this point. Advantage for me, Alabama in a great bounce back spot tonight. I agree with that line movement. Earlier today was 2.5. Now it's up to 3.5. If they're going to win this basketball game, they're going to cover this game. And also, Ben, real quick, close games at the end. Who's the worst free throw shooting team in SEC play? That's your Florida Gators. That could hurt you in a close game.
Really, really could, DRS. And this one expected to be close, albeit high scoring. Florida over the weekend bouncing back from a midweek loss to Georgia, a rout of Texas A&M at home. Big victory for the Gators. Florida has won 7 of their last 8. They have covered in all 7 victories. The Gators 11-5 against the number in SEC play. Same ATS mark for Nate Oates' Alabama team, 11-5 against the number as well. The Crimson Tide Heartbreak in Knoxville. Jemai Meshack from nearly half court at the buzzer beats the Crimson Tide on Saturday on Rocky Top. Can Alabama bounce back, who has lost three of their last five? And of course, the Crimson Tide in their final week of the regular season. This game at home tonight against the Gators, a road trip to Auburn on Saturday afternoon. If Alabama wants to be a one seed, go out there and get it with some of the best wins that you will be able to find in college basketball. Huge one tonight in Ann Arbor inside the Chrysler Center. Now a 2.5-point spread in favor of Michigan in this top 25 showdown. 153.5 is that total as the Maize and Blue host number 13, Maryland. Michigan got beat bad by 20 on Sunday afternoon against Illinois. Maryland, an up and down week. A road win at Penn State. They got beat at the buzzer from beyond half court exactly a week ago at home, and maybe one of the biggest games we have seen in College Park in some time by Michigan State. This one expected to be tight. Who comes out with a win in Ann Arbor?
Oh, let's go with the crab pots here. Maryland, I think, comes out on top. And here's the reason also. You took a look at conference play, Michigan on offense. You know who turns the basketball over more than any other team in Big Ten play? It's your Michigan Wolverines. Almost 20% of the offensive possessions don't even wind up in a shot here. But also, styles that make fights. You use that moniker a lot here. There's a reason behind it. Look at Maryland's offense. 37% from three-point range as a team. Number two in conference play. But how about this? 16th out of 18 teams in the conference at actually shooting the three-point shot. You know what that means? Measured three-point shots, only taking the best quality shot available. That's going to play into it. Look at Michigan's offense. 17th out of 18 teams at making the three-point shot at 31% as a team. But number three in conference play out of 18 teams at volume from the three-point line. Look at Maryland, third at defending the three-point line at 31%, second in conference play at chasing you off the line. I think the style makes more sense for Maryland. I'll take the plus 1.5 points tonight for them to go in to Michigan and pull out a victory.
You know, it's going to be fascinating, Donnie. And normally when you're talking about a point and a half spread, 2.5-point number, maybe you just look to the money line.
Yeah.
Not for these Wolverines who have played in 15 games this year. Decided by 4 points or fewer, 10 of them a victory. Yeah. They had 9 straight wins by 5 points or fewer entering Sunday's tilt against the Illini. You knew it had to come to an end at some point. Now what do we see out of Dusty May's team? Will we see that resolve necessary in the most important month of the year? Or might we see Maryland make a statement as one of the best teams in the Big Ten? If Maryland were to win and Michigan State wins tomorrow night against Iowa, the Spartans clinch an outright Big Ten title. Plenty more action in college hoops up next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Let's go around the country on this Wednesday evening in college basketball. Plenty of impactful games up and down the slate. Here's a trappity trap spot for a Tennessee team led behind the heroics of Jemai Meshack, won at the buzzer in Knoxville on Saturday afternoon against Alabama. They're on the road tonight against an Ole Miss team, trying to find its best footing, entering the NCAA tournament, and of course, the SEC tourney before that. 3.5-point spread no longer. Only a 2.5-point spread in favor of the Vols. Donnie, you would think the way both of these teams are playing, that line is 5.5, 6.5 in favor of Tennessee. Only 2.5 at the moment. Again, a trap spot.
Yeah, it is a trap spot because you're all taking a look at Tennessee, who we love their defense, but always the offense. Like, ooh, what are we going to get out of? Because they don't do anything spectacular. They don't get to the free throw line all that much. Don't make a ton of three-point shots. Not that great inside the arc, but their calling card is their defense, and their effective field goal percentage is number one in conference play. Now, understand this, though. Mississippi doesn't turn the basketball over, which is great, but can that translate into making three-point shots? The reason I bring that up is they shoot about 35% from the floor, Mississippi. Defending Tennessee, very good, under 31%, but they do let you shoot the three-point shot. And typically, when you're the home team, you should make more threes at home than you do on the road. That'll be an interesting one to watch, but I haven't found myself betting all that many Tennessee games because I just don't like the footprint that they have every time I'm trying to find a statistical anomaly saying, okay, what can Tennessee do well in offense to lead me and say, that's why I can back up their defense? And it's one of those things again tonight. So no play for me at this point. Line looks short. Tennessee should win, but they're never a great matchup for me when I just take a look at the stats I like to look at.
Ole Miss did snap a three-game slide over the weekend with a victory over Oklahoma, but did not cover as a 7.5-point favorite. In fact, in the last four for Chris Beard and the Rebs as an underdog in SEC play, no covers there. Texas Tech, hefty favorite against Colorado. Again, Grant McCaslin and the Red Raiders have been sensational this year. CU, the worst team in Big 12 play. Clemson still trying to put that scare into Duke, entering a huge regular season finale weekend in the ACC against a bad BC team on the road, Donnie. 13.5-point spread in favor of Clemson, but that's now on its way up. 15.5-point number in favor of the Tigers.
It should be, though. Like, how's BC scoring against anybody? Worst in the offense inefficiency here. Terrible at turning the basketball over. Don't rebound on offense. Don't get to the free throw line. Don't shoot the three-point shot all that well. And what is always the great equalizer, Ben, that I talk about when you want to pull off an upset, particularly at home? Shoot the lights out from three-point range. How about 18 teams in conference play? They're 16 at volume from the three-point line. So it just doesn't add up when you're trying to put those markers together. And Clemson's offense, they should be able to do whatever they want against the defense here of BC. Understand this. They're not great from the three-point line of defending. They're not great inside the arc defending. And also, when you do have the lead for a team that fouls more than any other team in conference play, how about Clemson making 78% of their free throws as a team? This should be a waxing up in Boston College tonight.
I got to be honest with you, man. This Clemson team, I think, is slightly slept on right now. Winners of six straight, they have covered in all six. Winners of 12 of their last 13, they have covered in 11 of those 12 games, including the lone ACC loss for Duke, which makes the ACC regular season title and the race for it this upcoming weekend fascinating. This is a Brown-Brownell team that got to the Elite Eight a year ago. And they lost some pieces, but Ian Shefflin is back as well. Chase Turner returns for this Clemson side. A really, really good team that I think does make a big statement tonight in Chestnut Hill. Another big one in the Big Ten. Wisconsin, 6.5-point favorite against Minnesota. Interesting positioning in terms of Big Ten action. Wisconsin, Purdue, Maryland, and UCLA. Four teams separated by just a game in total for the final two double byes in the Big Ten tourney. That line, Donnie, in this border battle between the rivals in the Badgers and the Gophers tells me this is a Minnesota number who has been great as an underdog this year against the best teams in the Big Ten. Lackluster when expected to win against the teams in the bottom half of the league, but man, they can spoil some resumes. 6.5-point spread tonight in favor of Wisconsin.
And also you get nervous. Like, again, Wisconsin isn't a super fast team as per se to other college basketball teams. They're a lot faster than what they used to play under. But Minnesota, they're going to drag that basketball. It was 20% per effective offense here out of a shot clock. Dad, come on. You're just bleeding it all the way through, and they don't play that great a defense at this point. So for me, that 6.5 probably comes into play. No play for me. Am I going to put money on it? But I agree with you there. You look at that 6.5 points for Minnesota at home and say they're going to slow this game all the way down. And Wisconsin, what do they want to do? Just get in and get out with a victory here.
Yeah, they certainly do. Chase Turner, by the way, Chase Hunter is the name I meant for Clemson. Wisconsin trying to bounce back as well. Difficult loss for them in East Lansing over the weekend. Missouri and Oklahoma. Interesting game for the Sooners. Quad one home spot against the Tigers. Now a 4.5-point spread for an OU team flirting with either side of the bubble in the last week or so. Love the over in that game. 162.5. Mizzou over in five straight. With a ton of points scored in those five games on either side. The Tigers racking it up and their opponents. OU over in three straight. Interesting one tonight in the Big East. UConn, 3.5-point favorite against number 20 Marquette. The Huskies this year, DRS, just 5-13 against the number in Big East play. Marquette had not been playing great basketball. They have won two straight, covering in both. What do you like tonight between UConn and Marquette?
I think UConn gets the victory. Did you know in Big East play, the most efficient offensive team is actually UConn, which is pretty impressive here. Now, they do turn the basketball over a little bit too much for my liking, but I love the fact that they usually play their bigger games in the bigger arena at the XL Center in Hartford. But the fact that this is a Gamble Pavilion on campus, cramped old school basketball tonight, UConn tonight delivers a victory in the Big East.
It already, as we know, Donnie, the Big East regular season title has been wrapped up outright by St. John's. But this important positioning for next week, Big East tournament inside Madison Square Garden. We've got so many games. Xavier, by the way, now a 3.5-point road favorite inside Hinkle. The Musketeers trying to become that fourth or fifth Big East team to get into the big dance behind St. John's, UConn, Marquette, and Creighton. That was a 1.5-point number earlier in the day. We'll go through some conference tournament action on this Wednesday on the other side of the break. But we now bid adieu to our good friend DRS. Enjoy the money line, my friend. We will see you tomorrow right here on the Early Line, 8 a.m. Eastern. We wrap up this show next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Live right here on the Early Line, rounding out our 3 hours together on this Wednesday. There is a ton of conference tournament action around the sport of college basketball here on this Wednesday slate. We'll talk the women's side in just a moment because four of our high major conferences, the ACC, Big Ten, Big 12, and SEC, opening round today, opening round in about 5 minutes in the SEC tournament, even for a top 25 team in number 18, Tennessee. But elsewhere, the schedule, Northeast Conference, NEC quarterfinals. That includes the top team in the tournament, Central Connecticut, winners of 12 straight, the nation's longest active win streak, 13.5-point favorite against Lemoyne. Quarterfinal action on this Wednesday. Second round of the Sun Belt, the gauntlet of a conference tournament, continues today. 7 games in 7 days for the teams in action. Louisiana in overtime, surviving yesterday against in a matchup, as I know, as I bet on the Raging Cajuns to win that game by 5.5. They only win by 4. They take on Old Dominion and Southern Miss. They take on Georgia Southern today. Both teams that played yesterday, slight underdogs in second round action in the Sun Belt. First round of the Ohio Valley Conference. First round of Big South Conference tournament action in first round of the Summit League as well. Only one game in both the Big South and the Summit in a 9-team conference tournament starting in the quarterfinal round tomorrow. Top teams in the conference will enter the fold. And again, I said it earlier, I think Omaha is being overlooked by the odds makers right now. A team that wasn't supposed to win the Summit, picked 8th out of 9 teams in the league, but they did. And what Chris Crutchfield has done this year in Omaha, Nebraska is sensational. Player of the year in Markel Sutton, another first-team performer in the Summit League in J.J. White. A +550 number, I bet, earlier in the week is now +480 for the top team in the tourney, trying to get to the NCAA tournament for the first time in program history. Keep an eye on Oscar Clough, the Australian big man for South Dakota State, one of the best bigs in college basketball. So that's what we have on this Wednesday around the country in college hoops on the men's side. But again, conference tournament action at the high major level in women's college basketball beginning today as well. Let's go through some of the odds. We do have some odds available on the FanDuel Sportsbook. Big Ten tourney, SEC tourney. Let's start in the Southeastern Conference because, again, that starts in just a few minutes. Tennessee in action. They have the 5th best price to win the conference tournament at a 30-1 number. Courtesy of the coin, South Carolina, the 1 seed, and they are the odds-on favorite at -155. They split both of their regular season set against Texas. I have a lot of belief in this Longhorns team at +170. I bet Texas to win a national championship at a 6-1 number a few weeks ago. That is expected to be the tournament title game within the SEC. South Carolina -155, Texas +170. Pretty steep drop off until you get to teams like LSU and Oklahoma. 16-1 for Kim Mulkey and the Bayou Bengals. Oklahoma at a 26-1 number. Kentucky was playing some great ball this year. They've kind of faded down the stretch, 48-1, 250-1 for Vandy. But, of course, one of the best freshmen in college basketball in Mikayla Blakes, who has been an outright scoring machine, setting that D1 freshman scoring record in women's history earlier in February. As we go to the Big Ten, Huge win for USC over the weekend, sweeping UCLA in both of the games against their bitter arch rivals crosstown this year. So Juju Watkins and the Trojans, the regular season crown of the Big Ten, top team in the tournament at plus 110. But UCLA, led by Lauren Betts, one of the best bigs in college basketball, plus 145. Big drop off to Ohio State 10-1, Michigan State 17-1, Maryland 17-1 as well. Wild regular season finale between the Terps and the Buckeyes as well. And I would just keep an eye on Iowa. They are playing really good basketball. I believe winners of 8 of their last 10 after things got a little dicey in the first year under Jan Jensen. She has been doing some great things right now in Iowa City, and Lucy Olsen is a bucket getter. 21-1 price for an Iowa team to get hot at the perfect time of this season. Whichever way you slice it, so much conference tournament action on this Wednesday. And, of course, at the high major level in men's college basketball, a great regular season finale week unfolding before our very eyes. The early line returns tomorrow, 8 a.m. Eastern time on the Grit.